And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're continuing in this last letter of Paul, this one written to Timothy from prison as he awaited certain execution. So they were words to be heard or read by Timothy and read in the churches, because this would define who the churches were, who the leaders are to be, and really what we're all supposed to be focused on as followers of Christ. How do you hang in there? Well, listen to what Paul says. I'm going to begin actually reading at verse 1 of chapter 2 to remind us of where we've been already. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive a victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. The Lord's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, this eternal record of your love and your work here among us. Thanks for the guide that it is. We read that your word is a light to our paths, a lamp to our feet. By them, we are warned and we are guided. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our minds and hearts to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look at your notes, you'll see that the opening paragraph packs a lot in just a few words, I believe. It's going to cost you if you hope to stay in the game as a discipler, as a disciple, as a follower of Christ Jesus. It's just life comes at us rapidly, and a lot of compelling voices. Paul compared it to the cost associated with being a soldier, an athlete, and a hardworking farmer. We talked about that last week. It's going to demand that we think clearly, stay focused on Christ, remain confident in his word, know our calling, and consistently worship the one who is worthy of our trust. It is imperative that we reflect deeply on Paul's instruction to Timothy in his last words to this young disciple. They are gentle but serious. And these commands and these helpful reminders for every follower of Christ. And like we said at the end of the message last week in verse 7, we all need to become more and more accustomed to hearing the voice of God, listening to the voice of God, and responding to it in obedience. In verse 8, I asked you last week, and you'll see this in your notes on the, actually a question in the middle of the questions. What have you been doing to become accustomed to listening to the voice of God? We all make decisions every day, and I'm not talking about which socks, color socks should I wear today. The issues of life. Should I say something? Should I write something? Should I make a call? Should I visit? God, what do you want me to do? How can I help these people? We make decisions. We make choices all day long. And I want direction in my life. Don't you want direction in your life? But sometimes we might act before we think. We might act before we pray. We might act before we say something that, man, wish I hadn't have said that. So Paul says, reflect on what I'm saying. Think about it. And the Lord will give you insight into this all. Become accustomed to just living in his presence and speaking with him and asking for his guidance. So in verse 8, Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. What do you reflect on, and what do you remember about Jesus? What are your fond memories? What are your heartwarming memories about Jesus? What have you been reading in his word that just kind of comes alive to you off of the pages? As you say, Lord, speak in the stillness as I wait on you. Do you come to his word with expectations? Really, serious expectations. Lord, speak. I'm listening. It's such a pleasant thought to say, think about Jesus. I like thinking about my family. I like seeing pictures. I really do. Our refrigerator is pasted with all sorts of pictures. I have a friend that when I go to visit him, this is a pastor friend that we've been dear friends and vacationed together ever since we were in seminary 55 years ago or so. So I go to his refrigerator to see if my picture is up there. And I go to see if my picture is higher on the refrigerator than another pastor friend. And that pastor friend is always competing for the higher position. What's on your refrigerator? What kind of memories are you having? Last night we were sitting around at a birthday celebration for our grandson, and it was really, toward the end of the conversation, we started talking about our old house back in Minnesota that I participated in and building it with my contractor friend. And matter of fact, our son Dan had brought a picture when he was there on a business trip, I saw trees there I planted in the front yard. They're pretty big. But we were talking about how that house was laid out and then we started talking about the different people that had lived with us. And it was really it was a pleasant memory. Most of those people who lived with us were friends associated with ministry. And they needed a place to live for quite a few months. And I was thinking about how God just protected my kids during those years from the ministry maybe invading our lives, but at the same time, knowing that they benefited from a family with an open door policy. And since then, we've had lots of other people live with us. And it was a fun conversation for a few minutes that brought a lot of smiles to our faces. And actually, oh yeah, Oh, I forgot that. We're part of Jesus' family. So when you read Scripture, I wonder, when you read the Gospels, when you read the historic book of Acts, and Old Testament and New, do you find Jesus there? I'm not asking simply, do you have emotional memories and goosebumps? I'm wondering, as you read God's Word, do you think, I remember when he taught me, when I spent some time just hanging out with him, with Jesus, in John chapter 4, where he met the woman at the well, and where the people from her town, on her recommendation, and she wasn't one to really get a lot of people to bite on her recommendations, but they came out to see this one. That could he be the Messiah? And I think of all the lessons that I've learned over the years by the words that came out of her mouth and the words that came out of the mouths of the people from the town, who said, "Stay with us." And he stayed a couple of days. And just hanging out with Jesus, they said, "We believe because of what she said, but now, we've heard you ourselves, and we've come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Christ. And we believe you." What pleasant thoughts have you been having about Jesus and as he's taught you? Jesus, I'm talking about. The historic Jesus, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. Was it wisdom that you, as you read the Gospels, that just like the people in the early part of Matthew and Luke, it says, the people in the crowd said, "We've never heard anybody like you. No one. You have the words of eternal life," Peter said, when the crowds began to leave Jesus because the things he was saying were so hard to handle. Have you ever wanted to shut your Bible and just say, this is hard for me. Not just hard to understand, but maybe hard to accept. And what other people in your lives have found it hard to understand? Because to come to this and understand it, we need to have a submissive heart. Paul had been saying some hard things. He was saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me, because I'm now in prison." Who wants to be friends with somebody that's locked up in jail? So he's been saying some hard things, and he said, "Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord." And sometimes it's going to be hard for you to do that, because not every place you go and where you want to talk to people, whether that's a relative, a child, a parent, a neighbor, you don't want to talk about it because maybe it's risky to your relationship. And when you do talk about it, you get "I'd rather not talk about this. It's not for me." So Paul says, how do you survive when you feel like I'm being rejected, Jesus is being rejected? How do you hang in there? Well, he says, remember Jesus Christ. Remember him. So do some serious, just the verse before, he says, reflect on what I'm saying. Do some serious, kind of purpose to take out that album. Here it is, right here. And remember what he says. Yesterday I was in my regular chronological read. You've heard me say that for years, but it's yesterday I was in Matthew chapter 26 and John chapter 13. It's like the last week in Jesus' earthly walk here. And in there, it was like I'm witnessing, like I'm right there. I'm hearing his voice in a sense, and the voice of the people in the crowd and the questions of the disciples. I see his passion and his mission and his love and his humility. His humility as he gets down on the floor and washes his disciples' feet. Talk about going back to a memory. And all over afresh, you start to, I could feel Peter drawing back. No, no, no. Not my feet. I witnessed him in the Garden of Gethsemane as he sweat great drops of blood, saying to the Father, "Is there another way? If there would, this would be a good time." I'm paraphrasing. But he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Talk about humility. I hear him come back to the disciples. And this really got me. I was thinking about him when he came up to the disciples. I fell asleep this last week doing some study in my chair, holding a cup of coffee, hot coffee. My wife has warned me about this many times. But it was like, I didn't do it on purpose, Marilyn. I really didn't. But, it was humbling. So I get a special feeling when I read those words yesterday, when Jesus said, I asked you to pray with me because my soul is very troubled. But you keep falling asleep. And then he says this, because he said, pray for yourselves and pray for me. Pray for yourselves. I know this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He wasn't talking about his spirit. He was talking about their spirits. They were willing. They had good intentions when he said, "Would you three that have come back over here with me? You're part of this inner circle. Please, I can count on you, can I, to pray?" Yeah. We're there with you, Jesus. Enjoy thinking about Jesus as he describes himself, his own witness and the witness of others in the Gospels. Enjoy thinking about Jesus as Paul and James and John, as they write epistles, letters to people, drawing us into the life of Jesus and the promises of Jesus and the application of all the things that he talked about, connecting the dots between the old covenant and the new. And by the way, in his name, he says, think about Jesus, who was living out the very, he says here in verse 8, descended from David. Why does he say that? Because this was all planned and outlined and promised 1,500 years before. Think about Jesus. Because when things get tough, we have one in whom we've put our hope, who was and is in charge. And he is also the Savior of of the world, my Savior. How do you handle potential rejection? When you want to put the word of God out, when you want to give somebody else just hope and encouragement, how do you hang in there? Make sure that your tank is full of Jesus. Think on him. It's not just the hours you spend in reading the Bible, just reading. That's important. It is really important. And letting it lay hold of your heart. But think on Jesus. Next Sunday, we're going to have communion. And we do this because of just the words in the front. Jesus said, do this in what? Remembrance of me. Remember me. It's just such a simple expression. Remember Jesus. Remember those words and remember him. Ask yourself the question, what am I remembering? By the way, when we take communion next week, we're going to try something. Remember the days when we used to pass trays? It was kind of a quaint thing, wasn't it? Quaint. I'm kidding. Okay. We're going to try trays next week. Now, are you afraid? Don't worry. I'm not taunting anybody. So in case you might feel like we're taunting, no. We'll have some cups out there in a basket, but this is kind of a fellowship. We're doing something in common, so we're going to try this. And by the way, the cups will have all been filled along with bread on top or on the bottom. I'm not sure which it is, but Pastor Dennis purchased cups that can fit in our communion trays. So we'll pass those, and if you want to just kind of just let somebody bring it to you and then take it to some, you know, around you, and no problem. Paul goes and it says in verse 9, he tells us that we need to be confident in the power of his word. Paul says in last part of verse 8, this is my gospel, this Jesus Christ. He is my gospel. This is my gospel. Jesus is his God. He is his good news, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. I love these words, that Jesus is my good news, that I'm offering it all the time. And I'm offering it like to the guy that I've been chained to. He says this when he writes to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 22 to 25 or so. You know, God's word is never chained. I suppose it's chained by us buttoning our lips or not saying something to somebody, even in a letter or a text, the Lord bless you. You know, I trust Jesus. I trust your... And you're remembering Jesus right now in the midst of the stuff that you're facing right now. And we're remembering him as we're praying for you. Be confident in the power of his word. Sometimes we say, well, let's say it could be the political environment. It could be the social environment. It could be the harsh atmosphere in which it seems like everybody's got bad things to say about everybody. It could seem like, well, this is the end of the world. Well, God knows his timing about things. He knows his timing. But we could say, well, you know, God's in charge and he's coming back when he's coming back, and this is, you know, I'm confident in that. But we can say this is hopeless. It's just hopeless all around us. Someone shared with me, and maybe as shared with you, about a concern for a family member. And it was really neat to hear this person say, you know, I wrote a letter, and I talked about this to, I talked to this person, and I shared the gospel with this person. And I've prayed for a long time. It comes with lots of prayers. But I prayed that God's word would come through, and that this person that I love would come to Jesus. Amen. Amen. God's word is not chained. Well, our circumstances just seem to be impossible. Whatever somebody is going through, it just seems like this is impossible. God's word is not chained by my own personal limitations. It's not chained by my circumstances. God's word is what gets through to people. It's not, Paul said, he was very much aware that scripture is, and he's going to say this in chapter 3, that this scripture does not come from people. Oh, it came off of the pen of Paul. But this, what he wrote, wasn't his imagination. Not at all. It was what the Holy Spirit put in his mind and heart, even as he's writing. That's why God calls it, in his word, Paul writes it, God breathed. Doesn't come from his imaginations. So God's word is, I may be chained, but this jailer is going to hear what the gospel is. He's going to hear God's word in simple terms, but it's not even that it's in simple terms. He's going to have to respond to what God says, not to what I say, but to what God says. Is your confidence in that when you share Christ? Have you ever shared Christ and you walked away from the situation and just said, I don't think I was getting through. I don't know. I feel like such a failure. Has that ever happened to you? I thought I was right there, and I thought I sealed the deal. You know, I had one guy at the end of a conversation, and then another person, and then another. It's happened. Is this not the way to do it? No, I really explained the gospel very, very clearly. And I used words like Paul says, and you know, I love what John says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the testimony. This is for the record, you know, like we're in a court of law. God has given us eternal life. It's a gift from him. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I'm writing these words to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. You put your faith in the Son, the name of the Son of God. You who believe, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe that, yes, yep, yep. Do you believe that the Bible is God's word? Yep. Do you believe it's authoritative? Yep. Do you believe when Jesus said, whoever believes in me will not perish but have everlasting life? Yep, I do. You know, all the way down, you know, just the line. And then I said, so you believe all that? Yep. So do you think you're going to go to heaven when you die? Do you know you're going to go? Well, I hope so. What did I do wrong? It couldn't be clearer. Until I realized I didn't say, would you like to know you're going to go to heaven? I thought I implied that in everything I said, but it's not a matter of technique. It's a matter of what God promises. And driven by the Holy Spirit, I put the word out. I put the word out as clearly as I knew how. But it's his word. It doesn't make any difference whether you're talking to a cleaning lady, a friend in the person you see all the time in the grocery store, somebody you see quite regularly in restaurants or in schools, or you get the word out. You just say, this is the way this is, and take it or leave it. No, it's not take or leave it. It's just, there's the word. It's in your, and someday that person will come to Christ and believe it and trust him. We talked just a few weeks ago about a general in the Civil War, from the Union Army, and General Winthrop, who was in, he lost his arm. He was in recovering in the hospital, and a nurse, who was not a follower of Christ, clearly saw him reading his Bible, not knowing that when he started reading, he really didn't know what he believed. But his mom had put the Bible in his pocket when he went off to the military, a New Testament. And he read it through a couple of times, and then so this nurse came up to him and said, "One of your troops is over there and he's dying, doesn't have long to live. He's crying out for someone to pray with him. Would you go pray with him?" And at first he thought, what am I going to... But as he took that soldier's hand, and as he prayed, I'm so gripped by this. As he held that soldier's hand, and he began to pray, praying some of the things that he discovered in God's word, or really paid attention to maybe for the first time. God's word in like a Gideon Bible. And he said, "May Lord, forgive me for my sins. I believe you. I trust you. And I pray that you'd take me into your heaven." And he said, "When I looked up, you know, that as I was praying, that soldier squeezed my hand." He said, as I prayed that prayer, I believed and I trusted Christ. Somehow I believe to this day," he said, "that..." And he wrote a marvelous, marvelous hymn. But he said, "I believe that that man, in that short amount of time, God's word in his heart and mind, he gave his life to Christ." Be confident in the power of God's word and really never doubt it. Therefore, in verse 10, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." I endure everything. I endure, and you take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5, when Paul talks about being, he said, "We have this treasure in earthly vessels, just breakable, disposable vessels." But he said, God still speaks in the midst of this, and I'm not going to stop speaking. We endure humiliation, we endure suffering, we endure maybe beatings and threats, we endure heresies, we endure knowing and doing this all for the sake of the elect. Again, Paul knew that at any time the door is going to open, they're going to come in and they're going to take me and they're going to take my head off. We endure all these things for the sake of the chosen. He's got in his mind the chosen people. He was one of the chosen people who didn't know Christ. As a matter of fact, persecuted Christ. And then he came to Christ and he preached in synagogues and he preached on the streets. He went to people everywhere and he did it, well, he wrote what Dennis talked about. He read about predestination today. From Ephesians chapter 1. "Well, I don't know what I believe about predestination. You know, how could that be? Don't we still have free will?" Oh, don't get tied in knots. Don't get tied in knots when you're sharing. I wonder if I'll share the Christ with you, but I'd like a winning record in terms of evangelism. So, you know, I'm just going to drop a word here and then take off. I don't know if you're really one of the elect. He said, "That's not my concern as to who's the elect. Who are the chosen? God's going to take care of that issue. Should I witness to this person? Oh, this person seems impossible." He said, "I'm doing all of this and I'm here in prison And I'm going to do this till right up to the end. I'm going to share Christ with everybody I'm around. Have you ever been around somebody like that? Who just, you know, if you're riding on a bus with them, if you're in a restaurant, you know they're going to say something to somebody, everybody, about Jesus. Somehow or other, they're going to just try to open that door a little bit and wonder if this is would this be a good time to talk and share Jesus with you? I'll do all of this. I'll endure all of this for the sake of the elect. How else are they going to come to Christ? I don't know who they are. Do you? Do you know just by looking at somebody? What if they look like they're somebody from another place where Jesus is not at the center of their religion? Why not share Christ with them? I do all this for the sake of those whom God has chosen. I don't know who they are, but I'm going to keep sharing it. At the end, he uses this little, it's like he writes he calls it a trustworthy saying. He says that's a common expression of Paul's. Now, this is a trustworthy saying. It's like every worship service, these words kind of words come up, these trustworthy words. So I'm going to just share this little, these couplets with you right now. That's what Paul is essentially saying. It's like a hymn. It's like a hymn that a lot of Christians were already singing. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he also will disown us. If we are faithless, well, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. We started out with these words. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into this all. He says in verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Remember, remember, remember. And then we come down at the end to this little hymn. We don't know what the music was. I mean, maybe if they were saying that, well, he calls it a trustworthy statement. Maybe it was a hymn. Maybe it was just a hymn that they all just spoke at that time. It was happening differently in different congregations, but this is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we'll live with him. Amen? Good to be reminded of that, isn't it? I'm going to do a funeral for somebody on Friday that I didn't know. But she came to Olita's funeral 4 years ago, and she said she really liked how that funeral went, and her daughter came to me and said, would you do my mother's funeral? Never met her. I liked the eulogy that her daughter wrote for her, and I said, why don't you speak this eulogy on tape or recorded message, or you can stand up front and read it. But I do that because I'm really looking forward to just sharing the truth of the gospel, that I'll share at every funeral, regardless of what a person's spiritual background is. The words need to be repeated over and over again, and people need to know, do I believe that? Get the word out. If we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, that's the hardest stanza, right, to read. If we disown him, he'll also disown us. But I like the way the song ends. If we are faithless and drop the ball over and over and over again and are sometimes really wrapped up with ourselves, we haven't disowned him, we've just ignored him. We haven't disowned him. We've just gone off on our own. But he will always remain true to his promise. And every time we call on him, as Psalm 116 says, I love these first two verses, as we call on him, he will bend down to listen. Like it really matters to him. He will remain faithful. He says, call on me. Call on me. And I'll listen. And I'll be with you. Marilyn and I have been doing a devotional this year. Last year we were doing something that had to do a lot with people that stood up under huge pressure. A couple pages a day. Every night before we went to bed, we were reading about people being burned at the stake or hung or beheaded. It was really an inspiring year. Actually, it was quite inspiring, but a bad way to try to go to sleep. So this year we're doing Christian hymns, 365 days of Christian hymns. I really would recommend something like this. There's no music, there's no notes. We decided pretty early on, if we know the song, we're not going to try to sing it as we're sitting up in bed and let's try to sing in these wimpy nighttime voices. Forget that. Let's just read the words. And it's been really an interesting year. Half the hymns we don't know, but some hymns are really right to the point. Beautiful poetry, like this, just a few words. Remember Jesus, remember him in the midst of your suffering. Remember him even if you're in chains, bound by something, by disease, by impossible situations, impossible. Endure it all for the sake of people who just need to hear the word and hear it probably through you as well when the time is right. And keep singing. Keep singing. Amen? Let's stand, be dismissed in prayer. Oh, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the comfort of knowing that as we read it, you're with us, that the Holy Spirit is with us in the midst of all of this, and doing what you promised he would do, and that is help us remember and understand, and help us apply it to our own personal lives. Lord, I pray that, and I thank you that as we go today, as we go to our homes, as we ride in our cars, you're with us, and your word is with us. Thank you that the Spirit is in us. Lord, help us remember. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.